Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
That's it. That's us. We got another chance at money, right? We're still giving away money?
Still.
Inflation yes. Bonus money?
Yeah, four times this afternoon. Four times.
Four times?
Yeah.
Where can you go for that? All right. The keyword comes up in about... I'm trying to be enthusiastic.
Mr. Hype, thanks.
No, Mr. Hype for the show. Well, I like the way you read the instructions. You read them angrily. Now do this, you idiot. You have to send a keyword into this... Don't text it, you dope.
You know what? People need to be dealt with harshly to understand.
I don't know. It was funny. I was listening to... Somebody was analyzing some of the football scores from the weekend, and suddenly they were saying, well, you know, you got that coach now, and this is the new type of coach. He really understands the players, and he kind of becomes their friend. And I was thinking, oh, wow, the self-esteem movement has reached like college and professional sports ranks. Yeah, because they used to say, you know, you got to have that taskmaster kind of coach. It's just, don't make any mistakes. Get in there and fight, you idiot. Learn your job. Do your job. But now you got to put your arm around them. You got
to
coddle.
You have to be a therapist.
You have to be one of them. You have to understand and forgive. And
well, if you raise an entire generation of, everybody gets a trophy, right?
Yeah.
If they're all coddled, if it's all about self-esteem, then yeah, you got to, as a coach, you have to adapt. I've heard that all over people who are supervisors. Managers. It's like with each succeeding generation, people are softer and more sensitive than the preceding one. You know, like every few years, just gets softer and more sensitive and softer and more sensitive. And they don't have an immune system to take criticism. They don't have an immune system to take direction even. Well, they've been told that everything they do is wonderful.
Kindler, gentler coaching.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't have any... Do you have any trophies, Deborah Mark?
Trophies
from like your childhood? Did you win anything?
No, not that. No,
I thought she'd be like a figure skater. I couldn't figure out.
Actually, I do. I do have a couple of those. Yes, because I was a if you want to call it a figure skater. I did ice skating. And I did win a couple of things.
See, John laughed when I said that.
Yeah, thanks, John.
I hit it.
Could you do triple Lutzes?
No, I can barely go forward, but I did what I could.
You gave up by the time you were 10 or something? Or
I started late, as a matter of fact. So you have to start when you're 3 or 4.
You do. That's right. To really get the knack of it.
Exactly.
So make it very
too late
natural.
For me. Yeah, I wasn't natural.
Oh, okay. John, you have no trophies, do you?
Do I have...
I have bowling trophies. It's the only thing I think I ever got.
No, that's
pretty
cool.
Sad, huh?
No, I mean, those are nice.
You seem like a guy who would have a bowling trophy. I don't know why.
Well, you should be. You're the Polish guy, right?
Yeah, except I wasn't good at it.
Oh, I was just going to say, in our day, they weren't trophies for participating.
I was never on any championship teams, and they didn't give out trophies unless you won the championship.
Oh.
So.
You didn't get any awards for playing soccer as a kid or baseball or softball?
No, they only gave it maybe I mean, since I was never on a championship team, I can't even tell you if they gave it to the first place winners. I just know I wasn't ever on that team, so never got anything.
Yes, and this explains the bitterness of the show. We both didn't get trophies, and now we're just bitter.
Yes, I spent all my life wishing I got childhood trophies. Kind of a sap, are you?
I drove down the alleyway. One of my neighbors was throwing out all his kids' trophies. I said, well, now I know it's really over. Your kids have grown up. You don't care anymore. Just a big box of, like, trophies.
My kids hate all their stupid trophies. They're all sitting in a garage, and they told us to throw them out because they didn't mean anything.
Oh. Oh, yeah. They were just participation trophies?
Participation trophies.
Oh, because your youngest son's good at sports, so.
Yeah, but he only likes the ones that he earned something. The participation ones he doesn't care about. Because there's no meaning. It's just, oh, I showed up every day. Look at that. Yeah, and they gave me a cupcake at the end of the season, too.
All right, like we do every Monday at this time. Deborah, Mark, what'd you do this weekend?
I actually had a very busy weekend, Ken. Thanks for asking. I ate delicious food and went out with friends. And
it was
busy. I had a very busy weekend. Yeah, what about you, Ken? What'd you do?
I did. I went out with friends, and I had lots of good food.
Did
and,
you go out with the same friends?
I enjoyed the weekend of, what are they calling it now, like the sports equinox? So many sports were going on at once. Yeah. Major League Baseball and Major League Football, and then you have college football, and there were all sorts of sporting events. So I was keeping an eye on all those things. And John, what about you?
I sat naked in the basement by myself.
Oh, God, John.
Why?
Well, I mean, Saturday and Sunday, huh?
Yeah, huh? Yeah, both days.
It was Did you say the garage or the basement?
In the basement.
Oh, is that your bunker?
Yes, I was testing out the bunker.
Naked.
Why did you have to be naked? Yeah. Is there something you read in the instructions that if we're nuked, you have to get naked?
It's better to be, naked.
I don't really understand, or just it's more comfortable that way.
I'm going to go for radiation poisoning.
Hope you didn't stain the furniture or anything.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, John's that naked. All right, so whenever we have one of these events, you know, we talked a lot about the whole city council scandal. And, John, what were the words? Reeling and roiling?
Roiling.
Well, with the debate last night between Newsom and Brian Dolley, was it even televised? Was it streamed, I think?
I don't know.
By public radio in San Francisco.
A Sunday afternoon.
Oh, it was the afternoon? I didn't even know.
I think so. With all the
came home last night later and I saw, oh, yeah, that's right. It was the debate today.
With all the football games and all the baseball games going on, you put on a public radio debate in San Francisco, you have to be the worm of all worms to be sitting and listening to that. Don't you know exactly what those people look like sitting up in San Francisco? I'm not going to listen to football and I'm not watching baseball. No, there's a debate. It's a very important debate. Gavin Newsom is speaking. And he's my man.
Yeah,
I mean, I would never want to be trapped in an elevator with somebody who listened to that debate.
Yeah, it was at KQED in San Francisco. It's like the top station there now, I think, actually. I looked at their ratings a few weeks ago.
Well, yeah, because it's tough
to get public radio number one.
Not when you're selling all progressive all the time in San Francisco.
Who's ever left listening?
Yeah.
Everybody left. By the way, I was there this weekend. It is pretty vacant. I didn't see any really bad squalor. I mean, I went down to the wharf area and some of the touristy areas. I was only there Saturday.
But it didn't look as
disgusting. Although I know it is. I didn't go to those neighborhoods where it is like Tenderloin.
They've kept it away from the wharf.
Yeah, I think they've done a pretty good job at least making sure that they don't kill what's left of their tourism.
Right, like the North Beach area. That's all been protected.
But if you walk to any other areas, like their business district, and kind of their shopping district, there's not a heck of a lot going on. It's pretty empty. So the words we get with the debate are they sparred, they traded barbs, and I'll add this one, Gavin Newsom made a rebuke.
A rebuke, yeah.
He rebukes Brian Dolley. That's the first clip we're going to play because Brian Dolley was having fun with the old question about the 2020 election being legitimate. This is public radio. They got to ask this question.
Oh, yes, because you know something? There's a democracy is under siege. There's a constant existential threat to democracy because of the insurrection and the election.
It's like the litmus test question now they ask candidates. Yes. Well, do you believe the 2020 presidential election was legitimate?
Yes.
They want to know which side are you going to step on? Are you going to try to do the dance of the middle?
Are you an election denier?
Because I heard Rick Caruso answer the question. He was very affirmative. Oh, of course it was legitimate. Oh, of course.
That's the only answer. And
it is the only answer.
There doesn't need to be a debate anymore about it since 2 years have gone by.
So Brian Dawley had fun with the question, and I think you're going to hear Governor Newsom with his rebuke in here. Let's listen.
Did Joe Biden legitimately win the 2022 election against Donald Trump?
Yeah, he did win the election. But the big question is does he know that? That's what I wonder sometimes. But I want to talk about...
You're talking about he being who?
Joe Biden.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I agree that he won the election, but I wonder sometimes if he actually realizes that he's president of the United States.
Of course he recognizes, and that's insulting the president of the United States. Of course he understands he's president of the United States.
Well, this could only happen in a public radio debate. The host was flummoxed. I got the joke right away. I saw a headline, and Brian Dawley questions if Biden knows he won the re-election. I thought that was very funny.
That is funny. Who is the host?
Boy, what do you mean by that?
Absolutely humorless. And Newsom jumped right in.
Yeah, that really deep, like Eric just played it. What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
And by the way, did he say at the beginning the 2022 election? Did I hear that wrong? Could you play that again?
Did Joe Biden legitimately win the 2022 election against Donald Trump?
Yeah, see?
Yeah,
the wrong year.
He's the one who screwed up.
It's the 2020 election. There was no 2022 presidential. Well, we wouldn't have had it yet. It'd still be a few weeks away.
So who was that guy? Who was that wiener?
Let me see if I can see. Here it is. Senior editor for Politics and Government, Scott Schaefer. And there's a woman, politics correspondent, Marissa Lagos, were the two.
Wow. Nice sense of humor there.
Scott Schaefer.
That is what you get in San Francisco. You get utterly humorless people.
And it even made you overlook Newsom there, who's like, oh, he's the president of the United States. That was his rebuke.
Yeah, Newsom takes it seriously. Why are you talking about? He knows he's the president of the United States. How could you say such a thing? You're insulting the president. Oh, I just can't believe it. You're insulting the president.
If you listen to our Bidenville, we're going to play it later in the show, even Biden says in one of the funny clips that every time I hear that, I look around. Where's the president? When he hears, when they play the theme. Where's the president? Who's the president?
Oh,
it's almost as if he doesn't know.
So I go to the KQED website.
Oh, and by the way, the San Francisco Chronicle says it was very clearly a Joe Bidenist senile quip.
Yeah, very clearly. But right. Scott Schaefer was the only guy who didn't get it. So I'm looking up his bio here. Scott Schaefer collaborated on The Political Mind of Jerry Brown, an 8-part series about the life and extraordinary political career of the former governor. And
okay. I have to spend my life on that. Did you say it's 8 parts? All right, I got some work to do. I got to catch up.
When you
think they're like 10 hours each?
When you get to part 6 and 7, you're just not going to believe it.
Tell me which one's titled The Armageddon Years. That's all Brown talked about for a while, that the end of the world is coming.
Right. Yes, that's a no-joke zone, that public radio studio. No, we're not putting up with jokes.
This is going to be a pretty short break, which means, John, when we come back pretty quickly, the chance for money, the keyword, is coming up. We'll also play another couple of clips from this debate full of barbs and sparring. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, so yesterday afternoon in San Francisco on public radio, the one and only governor's debate between Gavin Newsom and State Senator Brian Dawley, the Republican farmer from rural Northern California, as the Times calls him. A lot on gas prices, homelessness, and for some reason, and who cares, abortion rights. But let's we're not going to talk about that.
No. I'm banning abortion.
And Newsom, just right out of the playbook, was trying to just make Dawley look like Trump.
He is such a weasel. That's all he does. He just, every response is either Trump or somebody in the Trump administration.
No. That's all they have now, especially since most of the Democrats are places that they're in charge is either high crime, inflation, or both. So they still want to keep
a lot of those Democrats are going to get booted out in 2 weeks, except this knucklehead.
Yeah, right. Apparently, New York State, the race is getting close. We may have a Republican win there. In Oregon, as we've told you, the Republican might win there for governor, but not going to happen.
Yeah, here?
So let's play this clip where they go back and forth about the good old gas prices.
And we've seen other states that have moved with gas tax reductions, and we haven't seen the commensurate reduction because there is no guarantee. It means more money in the pocket of big oil companies. Everything he just said is literally stripped and ripped from the talking points.
Can you stop that?
He's talking about a few states. What were they, back east, that did repeal their gas tax? I don't know if they...
What states? What's the proof of that? Because I look at all the states in the east and in the Midwest and the South, all over, and they all have far, far lower gas prices than we do, by $2 a gallon. Is he saying that gas taxes have no impact on prices at all?
He's saying that if you repeal the gas tax, the oil companies won't really lower the prices by much.
Based on what?
I don't know. You have to look at how the prices went. I remember when they first did it. It did improve the prices in those states.
Well, of course it does.
I haven't watched it 6 months later.
So this no joke guy, Scott Schaefer, he could have said, "What states, Governor? What would it take to interject three words? What states, Governor?" I have no idea why people in the media don't press these guys, except they're lapdogs. They're kiss asses. They're suck ups. They're tongue bathers. Hmm. They worship these guys. What does that mean? Does that mean that if he added if he took off 50 cents from the gas tax, $1.50, it really has no effect?
He's trying to make it sound like the oil companies will turn around and just keep the prices where they are and pocket the difference.
Where have they done that?
They did not.
You notice they're only charging $5 and $6 a gallon here in California. Why aren't they charging $5 and $6 a gallon in the other 49 states? If it's all their greed, then why are we only the victims of the greed? And that's a great question for humorless Scott Schaefer, too. Why don't you ask that? If they're such bad guys, how come they're only bad guys to Californians? And by the way, they just released a report this year by a judge, a 103-page report. The judge could find no evidence, zero evidence, that the oil companies
are gouging.
In any way gouging, inflating, manipulating
price fixing or any of that. Yeah.
So we've had an investigation. A judge thoroughly went through all the evidence and found nothing.
The question for Newsom should be, this is the policy of the state to drive up gas prices so people drive less. You can't deny that. That's exactly what's happening.
Right.
And oil companies have become the enemy of California politicians, and that's why they cut back.
Yeah.
The supplies are at like a 20-year low in the state.
So from Mr. No Joke Public Radio guy, who did an 8-part series on the wonder of Jerry Brown.
Who couldn't figure out a Biden joke?
Who couldn't figure out a Biden. Like, he never heard of a Joe Biden is senile joke.
He thought it was offensive, too.
Yeah.
So he wanted Brian Dolly to clarify what he was trying to say.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Just so the audience understands, sir.
I don't know what you mean. It
does sound like that goof Scott Pelley from CBS News.
You know what? I wish Brian Dolly had looked at him and said, "What do you mean you don't understand it? What kind of a bubble do you live in? Really? You never heard a Joe Biden is senile joke, huh? Wow, that San Francisco bubble must be airtight. Just go right at him."
Let's continue with Newsom. I think we got a classic coming up in here.
Talking points that big oil provides to him and his colleagues.
Why is it not $2.50 lower in Nevada?
It's $2. Why? It's $2. We were paying a few weeks ago upwards of $2.60 more than the national average because these companies are ripping you off and ripping us off. And that's why I want to move forward with a price gouging penalty to address this abuse. Period, full stop.
Governor,
there it is. Five refiners that represent 97% of that industry. They have record profits, $26 billion just last quarter, 276% increase, Chevron Corporation alone. They're funding your campaigns and the campaigns of others like you. But let me be very clear. This whole idea that a gas tax somehow is going to provide relief, as you suggest in your questioning, has been rebutted, not just by the examples of other states, but by leading economists that say it's nothing more than a gimmick. These rebate checks we're providing, and what I just did, and this is important, we have seen a 65-cent reduction since peak in the last few weeks because we ordered the winter blend through the Air Resources Board, and we have seen gas prices go down in the state of California.
Well, that happens every year.
A gas tax repeal
gas
that could
tack.
Not guarantee.
You're calling for us.
He's a little bit defensive and nervous. You can hear it there. That's why he's all hyper sounding. He cannot defend this. California government and the way they've regulated the oil companies is responsible for the high prices. It's that simple. Don't. I love the way he tries to talk about what's happening. It's happening all over the country, but we were lagging, remember? But now we're switching to the winter blend. We do that every year. That always leads to prices to go down a bit.
Well, again,
switch from the summer to the winter blend.
You know, and what you need is an aggressive opponent, and you need an aggressive moderator. You have one of the great liars in modern politics and Gavin Newsom standing there, and then you have two mannequins sitting there going, up, 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 up,
no, it's
up,
too
up,
much up. Respect. They're like in awe and respect.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
this man has been governor. He's going to run for president. I'll let him speak.
I mean, one thing you got to learn from Trump is you got to be a bulldog, and you got to go barreling right through the nonsense. And you know, again, what do you expect from a kiss-ass, suck-up public radio guy out of San Francisco? Oh, yes, Governor. Whatever you say, Governor.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Okay.
What?
I can now prove that he's lying.
Oh, like, about the gas tax reductions?
Can you play the part where he claims... This is Newsom, that the oil companies are not passing the gas tax savings on to consumers in states that repealed or suspended their gas tax.
And we've seen other states that have moved with gas tax reductions, and we haven't seen the commensurate reduction because there is no guarantee. It means more money in the pocket of big oil companies. Everything he just said is literally stripped and ripped from the talking points.
That all right. Okay. He is lying. I have three examples. In Connecticut... They dropped a 25-cent tax. Connecticut is, if California is first with the highest gas price, Connecticut is 36th. California is at 575. Connecticut's at 348. Florida had a 25-cent gas tax they dropped. Florida is at 335. Again, California 575, Florida 335, Florida 42nd. And then, Georgia had a 29-cent gas tax that they dropped. 29 cents. Their price, $3.20. They are the cheapest gas in the whole country. 50th.
Who is?
Georgia.
Georgia's got the cheapest gas in the country right now?
$3.20.
Oh.
They dropped 29 cents in taxes. Florida dropped 25 cents. Connecticut, 25 cents. All of them are somewhere between $3.20 and $3.48. And they rank between 36th and 50th in gas prices.
The lowest gas prices.
Now, that took me the length of the last commercial break to figure out. I found one news story that says a state-by-state guide to gas taxes. And then the AAA site has the current gas prices. So Scott Schaefer at KQED, if he had spent less than 5 minutes researching this, because he knew what question he was going to ask, and he knew Newsom always uses that as an answer. And you'd say, well, Governor, let me say this. How come Connecticut is $2.30 cheaper, and Florida is $2.40 cheaper, and Georgia is $2.50 cheaper, and they all suspended taxes by 25, 25, and 29 cents?
Do you know if they still have suspended them, or did they reinstate them?
Connecticut extended the... suspension to November 30th.
Oh.
Florida through the end of October at least. And
Georgia.
Georgia had, as of August, it was still going on. I don't have an update there.
All right, but that is, you just rebuked him.
Yeah.
Or rebutted him. Or
no. So the governor stands there and blatantly lies. And by the way, Brian Dolly should have that information too. I mean, you go into a debate.
Yeah, you knew it was going to come up.
You knew it was going
to
come up.
Why didn't we do something like suspend the gas tax? And he had this nonsense answer that you have to throw back at him.
Yeah, this just pisses me off. Nobody does their job. That's your job if you're a candidate. That's your job if you're the candidate staff. That's your job if you're Mr. I Love Jerry Brown on public radio.
Oh, I don't get the joke. Is that a joke? I don't think that was funny. That's not a joke.
No, and this nonsense over his windfall profits tax, which he's been barking about for a week now. Is he still going to have his special session of the legislature in December to talk about a windfall profits tax? You created the windfall because the supply is so low. That's how they can make a lot of money. There's just no supply anymore in California. with all of the special requirements, the oil companies just said, blah, we're not doing business here. Again, 50 refineries, we're down to like 17 in the last several decades.
There are some guys who lie publicly, and they're tough to nail down because they're kind of vague when they lie. It's more a lie by implication or omission, right? There's some guys, what pisses me off is Newsom is easy. He is very bold and blatant with his lies, but he delivers them in a very strong, confident tone, and he dares you to contradict him.
Oh, he talks fast and loud.
Right, fast and loud, and but it's easy to contradict him because his lies are painfully blatant. Obvious. They're simple lies, just delivered loudly. And shame on Dolly, shame on his staff, shame on that loser public radio guy. And God, if I had the patience to, you know, sit through an hour of that drivel, you could probably find 17 other examples. But that, you know what that is? That's a propaganda outlet. Public radio is a propaganda outlet for people like Newsom. They're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in educating people with the facts. No, they just repeat and amplify the propaganda. Just all right. Every good dictator has those outlets.
Here is the next clip we're going to play. Inevitably, this would come up. Newsom, are you really just positioning yourself to run for president? Why are you bothering to try to be California governor again? Let's play clip three.
He's repeatedly referred to you being out of state. And I want to ask very clearly, you were asking voters for four more years. Do you commit to serving all four?
Yes. And I've barely been out of state. I was out of state for a few hours to take on his party. And his leader of his party, Donald Trump, who he was a passionate supporter of, and what they're doing to democracy, and how they're attacking women's right to choose, how they're banning books in unprecedented level, and how they're banning speech and rewriting history. This is a serious moment.
Stop a second. What book banning is going on?
I don't know.
What?
These are these local school board debates over some of the books.
What is he?
They're kind of small stories, but they get a lot of attention that's outsized.
He's like Captain Crusader here. He's flying in with his red cape. I've got to battle the opposite party. Why? They're banning books. They're banning speech. Look at all. Yeah, right. Banning speech. Seriously? You just had a hissy fit over a Joe Biden is senile joke.
No, he's dumb, and he uses the broad playbook that they all use.
Abortion. Right. Abortion.
And that they're all fringe right-wingers who want to stop your right to free speech, and they want to stop your right to choose what you do with your body.
He's a dumb clock.
It doesn't mean anything for the problems we have with homelessness and crime.
And why doesn't the public see that?
Gas prices, inflation.
This is
what's bothering people.
The rest of the country is in a complete uproar over many things going on, except here. And we have the worst-case scenario here. Everything here is worse than it is in the rest of the country, and here's the only place where no politician is getting punished for it. You're going to see such a bloodbath in 2 weeks.
And you know why that's so? Because those other states, it hasn't become normalized. God, I think back to when we were covering the homeless at the Santa Ana Riverbed. Remember that in Orange County?
Yeah, about 5 years ago.
And I remember a guy came on the air one day, and he lived right there near where that was going on because the homeless were setting up camps. They were ruining an exercise jogging track and a whole place where people like to go out and recreate. And he said, I'm fighting this because I don't want it to become normalized. In California, so many of these things, high gas prices, high electricity prices, homelessness, and now we're seeing it in the last year or two with this crime, because the Times likes to say, oh, it's not like it was in the 90s. We're just accepting things here that other states don't. And this became really evident. Remember the other states when they hit $5 a gallon gas, they really, really, really freaked out? In some of the other states around the country. But here, gas prices are going up again. We're hitting $6.40, $6.50.
Yeah, I saw $6.79.
That's what I mean. Everything gets normalized from this pathetic run we've been on for like 15 or 20 years. People here just accept things.
The amount of abuse that Californians are willing to take from this political class is incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
With a laboratory for their dopey climate change nonsense dream, and that's one of the reasons gas prices are high, where their laboratory for all their horrible policies of housing first on homelessness, that's become a mess and a lot of wasted money. You can see this in almost every major, and crime. That's right. We've decided that prison, we don't like prison idea. Right? We're going to give them some alternative, right? Diversion, right?
And none of it works. All of it's a failure. That's what's fascinating. It's like, all right, we gave you your run. You had your chance. You had your alternative ideas. They had years to implement it. It's a massive failure. And people are going, what's on TikTok?
The voters aren't there yet on that. You are correct. But
they are in all the other states.
Yes, they are. Right. And we're even seeing, like we said, a revolt maybe going on in Oregon with a new governor that's Republican.
You know, even
and we're going to talk about later on, even the mayor of Portland's decided there's too much homelessness.
There are politicians, because I saw this page, all over the country renouncing all the positions they had 2 years ago because they're in tight races. And even if all of them don't lose, the races are going to be very tight. And it's a sign that a significant part of the electorate has finally rebelled. And maybe they're not caught this time, but it's going to be next time. Unless they completely change their views. And some of them are publicly changing their views. I don't know if it's real or not, but at least they were forced into it by the polling that's going on everywhere but here. Everywhere but here. Unbelievable.
Someday, we can dream. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, another one of those reports came out about student test scores, not only just in California, but all the states. And I don't think this even came up in last night's debate, that the lockdown and Zoom school was such an incredible failure. And we're seeing it now and just how far behind the kids are, especially in math, apparently. Took a big hit.
I mean,
that's probably something you need to be there in person and see things explained logically, you know, in front of you.
You have to teach children in person, period. You can't. The children are not adults.
They're not, right. They don't have the attention span for Zoom school.
And everybody knew this after a few weeks, that this system did not work and will not work, and that kids weren't going to catch COVID or spread COVID very much. So it was a total failure by the adults. Complete failure.
All right, we'll talk about that right after the news at 3 o'clock. And California didn't fare well, but in a couple of categories fared better than the drops in other states. But everybody dropped. That's coming up after 3 o'clock. And another keyword, your chance for inflation bonus money at around 3:20 here on KFI. Well, this story comes up every now and then, and in a big report issued by our lovely friends at Greenpeace, we now find out that recycling is a sham. 51 million tons of American household plastic waste generated last year. Only 5% of that 51 million tons actually got recycled. 2.4 million.
You believe that? 95% of the recycled plastic, 95% of the plastic waste did not get recycled.
Did not.
Did not. Wow, that is a whole total system failure. And they've been selling that for decades, huh? And all the good citizens are very dutiful, separating their garbage, you know, having separate bins for plastic waste. And you see all these public trash containers. They have green containers and a little hole, and you put your plastic down there, and everybody's feeling good. They're doing something for the environment.
This actually happened to me on the plane yesterday when I was coming back from the Bay Area, and I had a little plastic cup of water, and I finished it. And then they gave me like a little snack paper, and I took the snack thing and I just kind of wrapped it up and put it inside. He separated the two out because he wanted to keep the plastic separate to recycle versus the regular landfill waste of the paper wrapper.
Oh, you were flying from San Francisco.
I guess so.
You committed a religious violation.
According to this, that's the first time it's ever happened. Any other flight attendant, I just dropped it in there. I didn't even look. Only two types of plastic are widely accepted at 375 facilities around the country. So apparently, most of the plastic we generate in the household doesn't qualify for recycling. The most common plastics, bottles and jugs, fall well below the 30% recycling rate needed to meet the definition by the two organizations which track recycling.
Yeah.
Which means that most major corporations like Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and Unilever that tout their plastics as 100% recyclable are only adding to the problem, according to this report.
And they all the companies clog up their labels with all kinds of rah-rah information about how environmentally conscious they are, how recyclable their products are, how they're doing their part to save the planet, their part to fight the climate change. And it's all corporate lying. because the products they're making are not recyclable. You have a plastic Coke bottle, that's going in a landfill. You have a plastic Pepsi bottle, that's going in a landfill. There's nowhere to recycle it.
Right.
So all that crap they put on the label is total nonsense. Here you go. I got a Coke bottle right here, a plastic one. Big print. In little print, Coca-Cola. In big print, 100% recycled bottle.
And the bottles actually do better. It says here, plastics considered types 3 through 7. There's like an official list of plastics. Children's toys, plastic bags, produce wrappings, yogurt, margarine tubs, coffee cups, to-go food containers were processed at a rate less than 5%. Because there's just...
Yeah,
there's several reasons for it. They can't... The items are too small. They can't really separate them out very well. It just becomes too much of a hassle. I mean, I don't... I throw... If I use any plastic forks or knives, I don't put them in the recycling thing. Might as well not, because they're not... I just throw the plastic water bottles in there, pretty much. And maybe some of the glass stuff, if I have any of that.
Well, it doesn't matter what you do.
I know.
If 95% is going in the landfill anyway, it's all a waste of time. Greenpeace said it is functionally impossible to sort through trillions of pieces of consumer plastic waste.
Yeah.
People mix the plastics together. That's why the system is failing. Recycling process generates its own waste. And most plastic products contain toxic chemicals to give plastic desirable traits like flexibility or non-stick properties. So when you actually recycle the plastic, these toxins can escape recycling facilities and landfills and contaminate people and the environment. This will disrupt your endocrine system or cause cancer.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Another reason recycling's not working because it is exorbitantly expensive to collect, sort, truck, and safely reprocess plastic waste. A big jump in diesel gas prices in 2020 made the cost of trucking plastic waste even greater.
Nobody buys it. There's no buyer for plastic waste because there's nothing they can do with it. It's a sham that they have been selling. I read my first article on this because I saved it. 1996. There's a writer named John Tierney wrote about it, I think, in City Journal. And he wrote something along the lines of the great plastic waste hoax and how recycling doesn't work. That was 26 years ago. Some people knew. And they still have been selling this big lie over and over again. It's fascinating.
Well, it's because now been 4 years since China stopped accepting the West's plastic waste. That was a big contributor, too.
Yeah.
That really slowed down the market. But, I always thought, logically speaking, you know, you buy a six-pack of Coca-Cola bottles and you drink them and you just send them back and they just clean them out and fill them again with Coca-Cola. It sounds simple on its face, no? But I know that's not what they do, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's not what they do. Maybe,
no, that's not what they do. They take them to a big place where they just kind of...
Maybe you've got a good idea there.
Melt them down.
Somehow they didn't think of that.
But then you'd have to separate everything out my bottles go right back to the same producer, and it would be too difficult to do it that way.
Look at this. On the side of this Coke bottle I was telling you about, there's some green print, recycle me again. So they're trying to claim that this bottle is already made of recycled plastic.
See?
And that
that's
a
good marketing
campaign. If I put it in the right place, doesn't say where to put it, then it'll get recycled again and again and again. But Greenpeace specifically mentions Coke as being unrecyclable.
Oh, because according to their survey, there's only two types of plastic widely accepted at the recovery facilities, and one of them is this PET, which is polyethylene terephthalate. I don't know. That's commonly used in water and soda bottles. So it should be accepted, but maybe it's not. And then the other is one used in milk jugs, shampoo bottles, and cleaning product containers. This is the standardized system, and these are numbered 1 and 2. But the other plastics that I mentioned, like plastic bags and the plastic forks and knives you have and stuff like plastic coffee cups and to-go containers, those aren't going to get recycled.
I tell you, though, if you tell a lot of people this, that 95% of plastic is not recycled, in fact, it's not recyclable, well, you know, I'm just trying to do what I can. You know, every little bit helps.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, the agenda here from Greenpeace is reuse, renew, don't throw anything out.
Well, that's fine, but just be honest about it. If that's what you think makes the world better, then go ahead, sell that. At least you're telling the truth.
You should be like that woman who left her water bottle on her desk at work, and then some guy,
well, there you go,
urinated in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what she reused. She didn't throw out a plastic bottle, one single use. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about this. A couple of reports came out for the state's student achievement test scores. A big flop. Everybody can thank the lockdown for that and Zoom school. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.